welcome to Unity Church. In the spirit of that welcome, I invite you to turn to someone within view and bow in greeting. Feel free to continue that conversation aloud when the service has ended. Unity Church is committed to welcoming everyone, especially those who've been excluded due to race or gender or sexual orientation. Your gifts and your wounds are welcome here. I want to extend a special welcome to those of you who are here for the first time or are visiting. We hope you find Unity Church to be a place which helps you to find and to keep your balance, a place which helps you to live a loving life of integrity, service, and joy. If you'd like to learn more about Unity Church and about our faith tradition, please stop by the welcome table in the parish hall following the service. Welcome team members staff the table and are ready to greet you and answer questions about the church and about its programs. I want to draw your attention to two inserts in the order of service. One is This Week at Unity, which is intended to serve as a roadmap and an invitation to deeper involvement in the life of the church. The second is an invitation to become part of the Unity Caring Circle by volunteering to be part of our pastoral ministry. There are small duties there and larger ones for those of you that have more time to offer. Please feel free to fill that out if you wish and to put it in the offering basket as it passes. On February 10th, this coming Wednesday, Wellspring Wednesday will feature Kitty Goggins, a local author and daughter of Unity Church member Olga Zoltai. Kitty will discuss her new book, My Flag Grew Stars, which tells the story of her parents' escape from Hungary during World War II and life as immigrants in North America and their commitment to help other refugees. Dinner is at 6, no reservations are required, and the program begins at 7 o'clock. Everyone is welcome. This coming Saturday, beginning at 8:30, everyone is invited to a pancake breakfast in the parish hall. Now, this is just not just any pancake breakfast. This is the annual Valentine's pancake breakfast at which the Unity singers, who are very good, will sing Valentine greetings for your beloved if you pay them. There's an opportunity to sign up and buy a Valentine in the parish hall following the service. If you or your beloved is not planning to be here for all you can eat pancakes next week, you also can hire the Unity singers to sing over the phone to someone that you love. Following the service tonight, everyone is invited into the parish hall for a soup and bread supper. This is an opportunity to share a meal and deeper connections with each other. Jan sends her greetings, Jan Eller Isaacs, our other minister, and she is serving as dean of Dreaming Big program, which is offering training to 25 younger colleagues in how to serve large Unitarian Universalist congregations. So she's off in Tulsa this weekend at the largest Unitarian Universalist church in the country, which is All Souls Church in Tulsa, and sends her greetings. Your ministry also extended across the river today, where Leon Dunkley, our director of congregational life, preached to the Universalist church. Next Sunday, Jan Eller Isaacs and Worship Associate Sue Babcock will continue our series on love with a Valentine's Day service entitled Standing on the Side of Love. Service times are 9, 11, and 4:30. There are no religious education classes next Sunday. It's President's Weekend. Children and youth who come to church will be invited to attend a service in the Ames Chapel and then to make cards to send to church elders. Following the service today, Amy, Karen, and I would be glad to greet you by the Portland Avenue doors. And once again, welcome to Unity Church. It's a joy to be here together.
My first communion left me feeling empty. It was an unsettling experience in a church I knew to be full of love and hospitality. But I don't remember sweet wine and hearty bread from that day. I remember feeling alone, afraid, and undeserving. Years later, at the front of this sanctuary during my wedding, I stood with my beloved, our parents, and four loved ones, and I drank wine from a loving cup. As we lifted the cup to the lips of our loved ones, I shared the wine and I felt love. As we lifted the cup to my lips, I drank the wine and I felt full. Come, let us worship together.
each time we gather for worship. We set aside a moment to expand the caring ministry of this congregation. Together we recognize the cycle of life and death, the circle of love, compassion, and witness that is at the center of this sacred community. Our hearts are always with those whose primary spiritual practice is caring for young children, with those who care for family members in ill health, or who themselves live with grief or chronic pain, with mental illness or addiction. And we stand with those who knowingly and with curiosity and courage face their final days. We pray for our neighbors in prison, and we pray for those who struggle to keep going in the midst of economic turmoil. May the leaders of the world find the wisdom and abiding courage to inspire and institute positive change. And may we hold the leaders of this beloved congregation as they imagine and plan for our future. Will you pray now with me for all these we now name? We hold Julie Schmidt in our embrace as she mourns the death of her grandmother, Gertrude Schmidt, whose memorial service will be held next Saturday here at the church in the Ames Chapel. Our hearts are with Marg Walker today as she and her family attend a memorial service in Iowa for her father, Gordon Walker. 2 weeks ago, Gordon died peacefully at the age of 95, surrounded by his loving family. We ask your prayers and healing thoughts for Jan Hogan, who will have major surgery tomorrow, as she continues to embrace life with ovarian cancer. And we rejoice with Kate Hyder and Joe Mueller, who brought their 23-month-old son, Mesfin, home from to the cities from Ethiopia on January 29th. One more Redeemer come to be with us. And finally, may we stand in compassionate solidarity with our neighbors all around the world who too often suffer in the midst of habitual violence. May they and may we be instruments of a lasting peace. I now invite you to speak aloud or hold in the silent sanctuary of your hearts the names of those you would like to remember this afternoon. And let us pray. Holy One, source of radiance and reason, Thou whose love endows and animates our lives, we acknowledge Thy presence within and among and beyond us this day. We who are so good with words have need of wordless wonder. Help us to find the will and the ways to welcome strangers to the table. Strangers who may not share our language, but surely share our love. Give us, we pray, the courage to move beyond our cynicism, the wisdom to know when to be critical and when to be open to the wordless wonder which calls to us today and every day. This we promise, this we pray. Amen.
years ago, on invitation from a friend, I attended a community iftar in St. Paul that began at sunset. It was a gathering of Muslim families and friends celebrating the final day of Ramadan and the breaking of the month's daily fasts. And after we had eaten our fill from a generous buffet, an equally generous evening of stories began, as guests from different countries took turns recalling their experiences of Ramadan in Turkey, in Saudi Arabia, in Palestine, and Somalia. My friend's father, Adil, spoke first, telling us it was the mornings of Ramadan that were so special in the small Turkish town of his childhood. Every morning before the fast began at dawn, his family rose to eat in the dark, and it was his job to light the household lamps, for the town had no electricity. Standing at the window as he lit their lamps, he would peer out into the darkness and watch intently as one by one other lanterns began to appear around him. Each lamp a beacon of faithfulness and love shining in the night. Each lamp casting a thread of light into the darkness, weaving together the town's Muslim families as they ate before daybreak. Each lamp a promise of solidarity for the difficult practice of fasting in the day ahead. As I recall Adil's story and the deep connection of community that I heard in it, I find myself asking today, what lanterns do we Unitarian Universalists light against the darkness that sometimes cloaks our world, separating us one from another? And what beacons of faithfulness do we hold up for our children and for one another as signs of our solidarity and love? As Unitarian Universalists, of course, we have no uniform practice such as fasting. But we do have, if we dare to call it that, as we did in the reading a few minutes ago, a doctrine of love and a covenant of service. We have a shared call to work for justice and peace in this world, to rise before the new day of justice breaks, and to commit ourselves to this important work again and again. The origins of our own flaming chalice remind us of this. A symbol designed for the Unitarian Service Committee in 1941, the flaming chalice was used by the committee's European network, then providing safe passage to those fleeing the Nazis. And as the service committee used this new symbol, sometimes stamping it on replacement travel papers or scratching it in the dirt to guide people toward those who would help them flee, it came to represent trustworthiness, safe passage, and the kind of love that reaches out and opens the door for those in need, even at great risk. This is the light, I believe, that we Unitarian Universalists still hold up for one another today. And we hold it up for the world at large as well. A promise of solidarity and shared faith that none of us has to be alone if we will but learn and choose to stand together. It is the light we generate when we come together, as we have today, seeking loving support for our own personal challenges and for the difficult daily practice of working for justice and for peace. Love is a lamp that we first light for ourselves and then hold up for one another. Love is a bridge we build from self to other so that we need not face life's troubles and the world's injustices alone. Love is a web of light that we spin together so that something will catch us when we fall. This is our covenant. This is our call. When our children stand at the window in the darkness, may they see lamps being lit all around them. May our shared practice of working for justice and believing in peace be the loving bond that supports and guides us all. in each new day ahead.
Each week, we devote the larger portion of our offering to an organization with whom we are in partnership in the helping and healing of the world. Today, the Family Tree Clinic will be the recipient of our offering. Since 1971, they've been active in offering a variety of healthcare services to the community with a particular emphasis on serving new immigrants, new neighbors, new friends. We share that commitment and are glad to be in partnership with the Family Tree Clinic. Will the ushers please come forward? As the plates pass, you're invited not only to contribute to the clinic, but to put that caring circle form into the baskets and join the pastoral care team of the church. Because we know that when we live lives of integrity, service, and joy, generosity is sure to follow. When the time came, he took his place at the table and the apostles with him, and he said to them, "How I have longed to eat this Passover with you before my death. For I tell you, never again shall I eat it until the time when it finds its fulfillment in the kingdom of God." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, "Take this and share it among yourselves. For I tell you, from this moment I shall drink from the fruit of the vine no more until the time comes when the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it, and he gave it to them with the words, "This is my body."
Walking can do that. put one foot in front of the other day after day, moving across a landscape away from the main thoroughfares, and it doesn't feel like travel. It feels like history. The centuries peel away. The woman in the kerchief who ran out of her house on a dusty road, rushing up to us with two bottles of her homemade wine. She wasn't being friendly in a modern way. She wasn't trying to connect. She handed over the black-green bottles to Diana, smiled from a face the color and corrugated texture of the road we stood on, and then ran back into her small, low house, guarded by great spears of cypress, and we never saw her again. She met our thirst, not our personalities. The gesture was a million years old, far beyond courtesy, rooted in ancient communion.
In the mid-1980s, a minister in a small Seattle church preached a sermon one Sunday morning about how Christians had once believed that the earth was flat, that women should be kept in their place, and that slavery was ordained by God. But they had been open to the leading of the Spirit of God. When the Spirit challenged traditional interpretations of the Bible, the church had been willing to listen to new ideas. Without openness to truth, the preacher went on unfolding through the guidance of the Spirit, the church would become a relic and die. The minister said that the next truth facing the church was that homosexuality was not a sin, not wrong, but one of the many ways human beings loved each other. It was a gift, therefore, of God. The elder assigned to give the first prayer at the Eucharist table that Sunday was a middle-aged woman named Violet, who dyed her hair jet black and was very careful and conscientious about preparing for her church duties. She did not like surprises. She left nothing to chance. She always wrote out her prayers ahead of time. As the minister preached, Violet's face grew angrier and angrier. After the sermon, the congregation sat in shocked silence. Finally, the organist played the scheduled music, during which the elders came to the table. People stood and weakly warbled a hymn. When Violet rose for the hymn, it was not clear whether she would walk up to the chancel or out the rear door. On the last verse, Violet strode angrily to the altar, a ball of paper in her right fist. As all sat and bowed their heads, she uncrumpled the paper and sputtered the prayer through clenched teeth. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this afternoon to give thanks for the gift of life you have given to us. In partaking of this bread, we are grateful for what it represents, both the earthly and spiritual nourishment given to us. We affirm that no one is stranger or alien to you, that all are welcome. Just as you welcome everyone to this table, we too must welcome all who come in faith. For this food of life and for your presence with us at this table, we give you eternal thanks. Amen. After the elements were served and the elders returned to their seats, Violet did not sit down. She picked up her purse and coat, and she walked out the door. Thank you. spirit of that welcome, I invite you to turn to someone within view and bow in greeting. Feel free to continue that conversation aloud when the service has ended. Unity Church is committed to welcoming everyone, especially those who've been excluded due to race or gender or sexual orientation. Your gifts and your wounds are welcome here. I want to extend a special welcome to those of you who are here for the first time or are visiting. We hope you find Unity Church to be a place which helps you to find and to keep your balance, a place which helps you to live a loving life of integrity, service, and joy. If you'd like to learn more about Unity Church and about our faith tradition, please stop by the welcome table in the parish hall following the service. Welcome team members staff the table and are ready to greet you and answer questions about the church and about its programs. I want to draw your attention to two inserts in the order of service. One is This Week at Unity, which is intended to serve as a roadmap and an invitation to deeper involvement in the life of the church. The second is an invitation to become part of the Unity Caring Circle by volunteering to be part of our pastoral ministry. There are small duties there and larger ones for those of you that have more time to offer. Please feel free to fill that out if you wish and to put it in the offering basket as it passes. On February 10th, this coming Wednesday, Wellspring Wednesday will feature Kitty Goggins, a local author and daughter of Unity Church member Olga Zoltai. Kitty will discuss her new book, My Flag Grew Stars, which tells the story of her parents' escape from Hungary during World War II and life as immigrants in North America and their commitment to help other refugees. Dinner is at 6, no reservations are required, and the program begins at 7 o'clock. Everyone is welcome. This coming Saturday, beginning at 8:30, everyone is invited to a pancake breakfast in the parish hall. Now, this is just not just any pancake breakfast. This is the annual Valentine's pancake breakfast at which the Unity Singers, who are very good, will sing Valentine greetings for your beloved if you pay them. There's an opportunity to sign up and buy a Valentine in the parish hall following the service. If you or your beloved is not planning to be here for all you can eat pancakes next week, you also can hire the Unity Singers to sing over the phone to someone that you love. Following the service tonight, everyone is invited into the parish hall for a soup and bread supper. This is an opportunity to share a meal and deeper connections with each other. Jan sends her greetings, Jan Eller Isaacs, our other minister, and she is serving as dean of Dreaming Big program, which is offering training to 25 younger colleagues in how to serve large Unitarian Universalist congregations. So she's off in Tulsa this weekend at the largest Unitarian Universalist church in the country, which is All Souls Church in Tulsa, and sends her greetings. Your ministry also extended across the river today, where Leon Dunkley, our director of congregational life, preached to the Universalist Church. Next Sunday, Jan Eller Isaacs and Worship Associate Sue Babcock will continue our series on love with a Valentine's Day service entitled Standing on the Side of Love. Service times are 9, 11, and 4:30. There are no religious education classes next Sunday. It's President's Weekend. Children and youth who come to church will be invited to attend a service in the Ames Chapel and then to make cards to send to church elders. Following the service today, Amy, Karen, and I would be glad to greet you by the Portland Avenue doors. And once again, welcome to Unity Church. It's a joy to be here together.
My first communion left me feeling empty. It was an unsettling experience in a church I knew to be full of love and hospitality. But I don't remember sweet wine and hearty bread from that day. I remember feeling alone, afraid, and undeserving. Years later, at the front of this sanctuary during my wedding, I stood with my beloved, our parents, and four loved ones, and I drank wine from a loving cup. As we lifted the cup to the lips of our loved ones, I shared the wine and I felt love. As we lifted the cup to my lips, I drank the wine and I felt full. Come, let us worship together.
time we gather for worship. We set aside a moment to expand the caring ministry of this congregation. Together we recognize the cycle of life and death, the circle of love, compassion, and witness that is at the center of this sacred community. Our hearts are always with those whose primary spiritual practice is caring for young children, with those who care for family members in ill health, or who themselves live with grief or chronic pain, with mental illness or addiction. And we stand with those who knowingly and with curiosity and courage face their final days. We pray for our neighbors in prison, and we pray for those who struggle to keep going in the midst of economic turmoil. May the leaders of the world find the wisdom and abiding courage to inspire and institute positive change. And may we hold the leaders of this beloved congregation as they imagine and plan for our future. Will you pray now with me for all these we now name? We hold Julie Schmidt in our embrace as she mourns the death of her grandmother, Gertrude Schmidt, whose memorial service will be held next Saturday here at the church in the Ames Chapel. Our hearts are with Marg Walker today as she and her family attend a memorial service in Iowa for her father, Gordon Walker. 2 weeks ago, Gordon died peacefully at the age of 95, surrounded by his loving family. We ask your prayers and healing thoughts for Jan Hogan, who will have major surgery tomorrow, as she continues to embrace life with ovarian cancer. And we rejoice with Kate Hyder and Joe Mueller, who brought their 23-month-old son, Mesveen, home to the cities from Ethiopia on January 29th. One more Redeemer come to be with us. And finally, may we stand in compassionate solidarity with our neighbors all around the world who too often suffer in the midst of habitual violence. May they and may we be instruments of a lasting peace. I now invite you to speak aloud or hold in the silent sanctuary of your hearts the names of those you would like to remember this afternoon. And let us pray. Holy One, source of radiance and reason, Thou whose love endows and animates our lives, we acknowledge Thy presence within and among and beyond us this day. We who are so good with words have need of wordless wonder. Help us to find the will and the ways to welcome strangers to the table. Strangers who may not share our language, but surely share our love. Give us, we pray, the courage to move beyond our cynicism, the wisdom to know when to be critical and when to be open to the wordless wonder which calls to us today and every day. This we promise, this we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
2 years ago, on invitation from a friend, I attended a community iftar in St. Paul that began at sunset. It was a gathering of Muslim families and friends celebrating the final day of Ramadan and the breaking of the month's daily fasts. And after we had eaten our fill from a generous buffet, an equally generous evening of stories began, as guests from different countries took turns recalling their experiences of Ramadan in Turkey, in Saudi Arabia, in Palestine, and Somalia. My friend's father, Adil, spoke first, telling us it was the mornings of Ramadan that were so special in the small Turkish town of his childhood. Every morning before the fast began at dawn, his family rose to eat in the dark. And it was his job to light the household lamps, for the town had no electricity. Standing at the window as he lit their lamps, he would peer out into the darkness and watch intently as one by one other lanterns began to appear around him. Each lamp a beacon of faithfulness and love shining in the night. Each lamp casting a thread of light into the darkness, weaving together the town's Muslim families as they ate before daybreak. Each lamp a promise of solidarity for the difficult practice of fasting in the day ahead. As I recall Adil's story and the deep connection of community that I heard in it, I find myself asking today, what lanterns do we Unitarian Universalists light against the darkness that sometimes cloaks our world, separating us one from another? And what beacons of faithfulness do we hold up for our children and for one another as signs of our solidarity and love? As Unitarian Universalists, of course, we have no uniform practice such as fasting. But we do have, if we dare to call it that, as we did in the reading a few minutes ago, a doctrine of love and a covenant of service. We have a shared call to work for justice and peace in this world, to rise before the new day of justice breaks, and to commit ourselves to this important work again and again. The origins of our own flaming chalice remind us of this. A symbol designed for the Unitarian Service Committee in 1941, the flaming chalice was used by the committee's European network, then providing safe passage to those fleeing the Nazis. And as the service committee used this new symbol, sometimes stamping it on replacement travel papers or scratching it in the dirt to guide people toward those who would help them flee, it came to represent trustworthiness, safe passage, and the kind of love that reaches out and opens the door for those in need, even at great risk. This is the light, I believe, that we Unitarian Universalists still hold up for one another today. And we hold it up for the world at large as well. A promise of solidarity and shared faith that none of us has to be alone if we will but learn and choose to stand together. It is the light we generate when we come together, as we have today, seeking loving support for our own personal challenges and for the difficult daily practice of working for justice and for peace. Love is a lamp that we first light for ourselves and then hold up for one another. Love is a bridge we build from self to other so that we need not face life's troubles and the world's injustices alone. Love is a web of light that we spin together so that something will catch us when we fall. This is our covenant. This is our call. When our children stand at the window in the darkness, may they see lamps being lit all around them. May our shared practice of working for justice and believing in peace be the loving bond that supports and guides us all in each new new day ahead.
Each week, we devote the larger portion of our offering to an organization with whom we are in partnership in the helping and healing of the world. Today, the Family Tree Clinic will be the recipient of our offering. Since 1971, they've been active in offering a variety of healthcare services to the community with a particular emphasis on serving new immigrants, new neighbors, new friends. We share that commitment and are glad to be in partnership with the Family Tree Clinic. Will the ushers please come forward? As the plates pass, you're invited not only to contribute to the clinic, but to put that caring circle form into the baskets and join the pastoral care team of the church. Because we know that when we live lives of integrity, service, and joy, generosity is sure to follow. When the time came, he took his place at the table and the apostles with him, and he said to them, "How I have longed to eat this Passover with you before my death. For I tell you, never again shall I eat it until the time when it finds its fulfillment in the kingdom of God." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, "Take this and share it among yourselves. For I tell you, from this moment I shall drink from the fruit of the vine no more until the time comes when the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it, and he gave it to them with the words, "This is my body."
Walking can do that. put one foot in front of the other day after day, moving across a landscape away from the main thoroughfares, and it doesn't feel like travel. It feels like history. The centuries peel away. The woman in the kerchief who ran out of her house on a dusty road, rushing up to us with two bottles of her homemade wine. She wasn't being friendly in a modern way. She wasn't trying to connect. She handed over the black-green bottles to Diana, smiled from a face the color and corrugated texture of the road we stood on, and then ran back into her small, low house, guarded by great spears of cypress, and we never saw her again. She met our thirst, not our personalities. The gesture was a million years old, far beyond courtesy, rooted in ancient communion.
In the mid-1980s, a minister in a small Seattle church preached a sermon one Sunday morning about how Christians had once believed that the earth was flat, that women should be kept in their place, and that slavery was ordained by God. But they had been open to the leading of the Spirit of God. When the Spirit challenged traditional interpretations of the Bible, the church had been willing to listen to new ideas. Without openness to truth, the preacher went on unfolding through the guidance of the Spirit, the church would become a relic and die. The minister said that the next truth facing the church was that homosexuality was not a sin, not wrong, but one of the many ways human beings loved each other. It was a gift, therefore, of God. The elder assigned to give the first prayer at the Eucharist table that Sunday was a middle-aged woman named Violet, who dyed her hair jet black and was very careful and conscientious about preparing for her church duties. She did not like surprises. She left nothing to chance. She always wrote out her prayers ahead of time. As the minister preached, Violet's face grew angrier and angrier. After the sermon, the congregation sat in shocked silence. Finally, the organist played the scheduled music, during which the elders came to the table. People stood and weakly warbled a hymn. When Violet rose for the hymn, it was not clear whether she would walk up to the chancel or out the rear door. On the last verse, Violet strode angrily to the altar, a ball of paper in her right fist. As all sat and bowed their heads, she uncrumpled the paper and sputtered the prayer through clenched teeth. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this afternoon to give thanks for the gift of life you have given to us. In partaking of this bread, we are grateful for what it represents, both the earthly and spiritual nourishment given to us. We affirm that no one is stranger or alien to you, that all are welcome. Just as you welcome everyone to this table, we too must welcome all who come in faith. For this food of life and for your presence with us at this table, we give you eternal thanks. Amen. After the elements were served and the elders returned to their seats, Violet did not sit down. She picked up her purse and coat, and she walked out the door.